You are listening to Satellite Sisters. This is our recap show of Madam Secretary. We are in season 2. This is episode 10. This one is called Unity Nude. I don't know what that means, but we're going to talk about it. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California, and I'm here with my big sister, Julie Dolan, in Dallas, Texas. And Julie, I just want to let the people know, if you have downloaded the show, you are a Madam Secretary fan, we are so happy to have you. We've been doing this recap since the beginning of season 2. And sometimes we pair this with our regular Satellite Sisters podcast. But now we have so many TV shows that we're recapping, Julie, that we've had to separate out the Madam Secretary podcast, right? We're doing the regular Tuesday show with the Downton Abbey recap, correct?
Right. That's right. And Madam Secretary, it's kind of like the International Space Station, Leanne. This, we've set this out alone. It's its own satellite that you can listen to.
Excellent analogy, Julie. Excellent analogy. So if you're looking for the Tuesday show of Satellite Sisters, I promise you it's there. Go back to iTunes, go back to Stitcher, go back to our website. You will find it, but we're doing two TV recaps simultaneously. So Madam Secretary stands alone. And she truly did on this show. I mean, she brought it to this episode, didn't she, Taleone?
Best hardest working secretary ever, Leanne. I don't really. I have some time space continuum issues, like how she was able to get all the places that she gets to in this episode. But we'll get into that. But yes, she was very, very busy.
All right. So the episode was called Unity Node. And it did have the International Space Station in it. Was that a reference to the space station that I missed? I actually Googled Unity Node. What does that mean? Do you know?
Yes, Leanne. That was the one place in the space station where the astronauts that were in trouble could get the new suits on, I believe.
Okay. Somehow I must have missed that. Maybe I was writing notes. There was so much happening. When we watch the show, we write notes and then we rewatch the show. But here's some alternate titles I had for this episode, Julie.
Okay.
So the House of Deep Blues, because heavy art direction in the show, heavy self-reflection in this episode, everything was blue. Blue. And I personally think it's because Taleone looks spectacular in blue. I think that's why they went with blue.
And there was a whole middle section where everything was teal blue. Yes, where she was in that color and all the lights in Washington were teal blue. I loved it.
Yeah, her director of communication wearing a lot of pops of blue, blue ties on the men, everything, a lot of blue. And I think it was because it was a reflective episode. We were supposed to feel deeply about this as they pondered the aftermath of what had just happened in Geneva. So that's one title. Here's the other title I had: Peace versus Peace of Mind. What's easier to achieve in 60 minutes? Because, I mean, you're right, man. They were everywhere, jamming it in, outer space, school volunteering, you know.
Multiple countries, really. Sweden, the U.S., she was in Austria. How did she get to all those places?
I don't know. On Skype and on the Ukraine, I don't know. That was just a lot happening in 60 minutes. Or then my third alternative title was The Axis of Evil, Russia, China, and Mandatory Volunteer Work.
Yes, Leanne. The Quakers had a bad, they took a big hit in this episode, wouldn't you say? I expect that there's going to be a big Quaker backlash.
It seems sort of un-Quaker, but
violent. Of course, it will be a nonviolent backlash. Yeah. But I guess you're free to like take down Quakers, you know, because
yeah, they got well. They got. We're going to go over this, but they got the word that they had not, Henry and Bess had not been doing their mandatory volunteer hours at school, and they were going to have to show up like that afternoon for the winter carnival. And of course, Bess had the classic line, mandatory volunteer hours. Isn't that an oxymoron? And
yes,
we have talked many, many times about mandatory volunteer hours at Satellite Sisters. So this is a storyline that spoke straight to my heart. But
right,
we
really
start off the episode. We're back. We see we're in Geneva and we see the aftermath of the violence that we saw last week. A peace accord was achieved with Russia, the Ukraine, the United States. Russia is going to leave the Ukraine alone. The Ukraine is going to give up part of their country to Russia. And somehow the United States made that happen, even though they had to give up their spy in Ostrov's government in Russia. And then they're all getting in their cars. She's got the puffer jacket on. She's got the thing over the puffer jacket. Bess is getting in the car, trying to reach Henry. And then some guy with an RPG blows up a car. We don't know whose car it is, but this week we find out it is the president of Russia, Maria Ostrov. And Julie, can I just say the moment when the Swiss guards stepped in as first responders
in their pantaloons there? Yes. Yeah, that's really the problem with terrorism, Leon. Yeah. We got guys in pantaloons and muskets trying to deal with suicide bombers. Yeah, it's just not a good situation.
I mean, that was just, I had to watch that twice get your hat. That good hat is really going to help in an emergency situation. Okay.
So I feel bad for Marie. I mean, of course she killed her husband and that's how she became president of Russia, which isn't so nice, but I enjoyed the fact that she was the beauty queen turned Russian president. I thought that was a good storyline.
Yes.
So, but I guess she had to go.
She had to go because they had to make way for that hunky new president. I mean, he was kind of hot, the new Russian president at the end.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to him. All right, so here are the storylines we're going to talk about today. We have the after effects of these peace talks and the murder of Maria Ostrov on both Henry and Elizabeth. They really are both dealing with their own after effects of essentially trading lives for peace and what that means. And even though these are both career, where they're CIA agents and NSA agents, and they've been in and around this sort of situation for a long time, it still affects them both deeply emotionally. Hence all the blue. They're very blue. Both of them are very blue this entire episode. Okay, then we have a storyline where things are happening in the International Space Station. Two American astronauts and a Japanese astronaut are cut off without their spacesuits. I know there's a technical name, but I'm going to call it spacesuits.
Go right ahead. Now, if Nadine's boyfriend, Glenn, was there, he's our man at NASA, but he'd have some other term for it. But yes, I think that's good, Leon. And that the International Space Station was damaged by the North Koreans, Leon.
How crazy was that? How when we spoke to Lori McCreary and Barbara Hall, the executive producer and the head creator of the show, they told us sometimes they're astonished at their own ability to sort of predict the future. Like, Barbara Hall writes it and it happens. So we had North Korea allegedly exploding a hydrogen bomb this week. And on Madam Secretary, the North Koreans blow up the space station somehow. Yeah. Right. It was incredible. So, but we have those American and Japanese astronauts in danger. And the only ones that can save them are the Russian astronauts on the other side of the space station. But they need help from China, who stole the design of these special space suits from Russia. So Madam Secretary, in the midst of her grief and in the midst of essentially trying to save the peace deal with the new Russian president, also has to negotiate with the Chinese now for the Russian for agreement and help in the International Space Station. And then the third storyline is just the tyranny of school volunteerism.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's near and dear to everyone's heart. They don't care who you are. And in particular, the Quakers don't, Leon. They don't care. They don't care that you're saving the world. Okay. Yeah.
Literally, she was like saving the world, like in the middle of the school fair.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah, I'm having my box sent there, Leon.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free and wild-caught seafood, no antibiotics or added hormones, and as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is That's nice. That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Okay, just gonna tell this one. Oh, we get to that story line. Remind me to tell a funny story that happened to me once when I was running a project, and this woman... Oh, she had a crazy job. And okay, never mind. I'll tell it at the end. All right. So let's go to the after effects on Henry. So Henry has given up his asset, Dmitry, the Russian student, has been allegedly killed. Julie,
I don't think Dmitry's dead. And here's the reason why, Leanne. Here's my thinking. You know, I lived 5 years in Russia. So I would think if the Russians caught a spy, they would like a very public trial where they have him in that cage. Have you ever seen the Russian justice system where they,
no.
they put suspects like in a cage in the courtroom? It's really nice. So they'd have him in a cage, or they'd have him like in misery in a Russian prison. Okay. Just to like execute him. I don't think they're getting their bang for their buck in terms of retribution for someone that they believe who, you know, spied against the Russian Federation. But so I'm hoping against hope that Dmitry is still alive.
Right. When we first see Henry, he is in deep cover. He thinks he can save him. He's gone to Sweden, and we know he's in Sweden because there's a Volvo in the shop.
Yes, Leanne.
Much like the Swiss guards as first responders, the shot of the Volvo made me laugh. But okay, he's in Sweden, and he's there with his handler, Assistant District Attorney Jill.
Jill, in desperate need of she has to go get some highlights. I mean,
she's working hard.
I know that's the point. Like, she has no time to take care of her hair because she's really involved in some deep undercover operations. I get it.
Okay. I just don't trust that Jill. I think she's going to circle back on Henry.
So I agree, Leon.
So Henry tries to get out. I think it's going to be like The Godfather. He's going to try to get out. He's going to allegedly quit his job, which he tried to do, quit his job at the NSA, Jill Hennessy, assistant district attorney there, and her people, they basically said to Henry, you can't get out that easy. It's not going to be that easy. And Henry is really struggling with this idea that he traded Dmitry's life. So even though more people will be saved in the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, he just really is having a hard time with this.
Right. I think he felt very close to his student, Dmitry. There was something so appealing and pure about Dmitry that, that he feels that he really took advantage of.
So but you think Dimitri's still alive? We're going to see him again.
I do, Leon. So hope against hope.
All right. And then we have Elizabeth dealing with her aftermath. And in one scene, they've discovered that it, in fact, was sort of a rogue Ukrainian that killed Maria Ostroff. And so we're back in the Situation Room where she sees a raid to find this rogue Ukrainian. And it involves a couple of U.S. Blackhawk special ops teams. And the Blackhawk goes down and they lose 6 Americans. They get the rogue Ukrainian. But she really takes the death of these 6 Americans really hard. She's struggling with having given up Dmitry's name and having him killed. And now she's struggling again with these good decorated heroes going down all for what? And I thought her emotion was very real.
Me too, Leon. I was just going to say, I thought it was a very powerful scene. And you just the anguish of like sending people into harm's way, even though they're, they're trained professional soldiers. It was just that was really a good scene.
Yeah. Well, at one point, the Jill Hennessy says to him, to Henry, actually, well, you flew missions in the Iraq War. You've killed people before. Why is this hitting you so hard? And I think that was the question they kept trying to answer throughout. Like, these are career people who have been in really tough situations before. But that doesn't mean that every life doesn't count. Like, what is the price of peace? And that's what we got the answer to this week. But in the meantime, and Madam Secretary is feeling it. She is angry, Bess, right? Julie, she is bringing it to some of these world leaders. She is not taking any guff.
I know. I'm glad to see that. And I'm really wondering whether our leaders actually use Skype in this fashion, whether they are actually or whether they're still on those old fashion, like the red phone when they talk to the Russians. I hope they're using Skype and salty language. That's what I hope.
Yeah, she was not taking any guff from anyone. And so all of a sudden, this, crisis at the International Space Station sort of took on an alternate meaning, like, oh, maybe if we can achieve peace in space, we can achieve peace here on Earth. And so there we had, her team back in action. We have Jay, who, like everyone who works in Washington, he gets paler by the episode, doesn't he?
Yes, but he is paler, but his hair is longer, I took note of, Leanne. Oh. And I think that adds to the gravitas of Jay. You know, that was an issue we felt that was lacking on Madam Secretary's staff, right, is that she didn't really have enough like bench strength there to support her as she saves the world each week. So Jay has grown. He is paler, but his hair is longer, Leon. And I think that's helping.
Yeah. And then, the communications director, Daisy, she always asks the questions that you want to ask. Like, what are you talking about? So she has an excellent role. When the scientist was trying to explain life on the International Space Station, she asked the obvious questions as the viewer would. Like, what is he talking about? What is that? Can't they just fly around in space in a regular spacesuit? So she had a very important role. And again, she was wearing fantastic blue shirts all the way throughout, just that pop of color Daisy had. And then we saw that her majordomo, Elizabeth's majordomo, her bagman, really had a great show. I thought he had some good lines. He had to break a lot to her. He was there for her. He helped her with that change of clothes. Julie?
I know. Did she have the cutest casual clothes to wear to work at the school, Leanne? I love that whole outfit. But yes, I love seeing the staff. I we've missed them the last couple of weeks, and I think it's great that they're getting a little more airtime because they're some of my favorite characters.
One line I love from Nadine this week, and I think I know that we have employed this as a communication tactic at Satellite Sisters, is, bold language, vague specifics. And, you know, Nadine had to issue a statement and she was like, yeah, check, bold language, vague specifics. That's just, we have definitely done that in some of our headlines, our press releases for Satellite Sisters. And then I also liked Henry's line, because they were sort of at it. They have not made peace with each other after making peace with their actions. And so Henry and, you know, Bess was trying to force Henry to open up, talk to me. And he said, can I process this for 5 minutes or does that not fit into your schedule? Wow. That was a chilling line because, you know. Yeah,
but okay. I mean, they are a real couple. You would imagine they'd have to say that from time to time. Right. But it just... it adds to the fact that they're trying to work on their relationship. I like that, Leon.
There was the one scene when Henry called Bess right after it happened, like, oh, I'm so glad you didn't blow up. And she said, where are you? And he said, you know, I can't say. Yeah. I'm sure you've had calls with your husband like that, Julie. That's what I thought.
I can't really address that issue, Leon, at all.
Your husband's an international businessman. He's been in, quote, deep cover occasionally. Deep cover.
He goes to Sweden from time to time, Leon. And then manages to get back to Washington, D.C. within like 30 seconds. Okay. We do need to see one scene where the two of them are just slogging it out on all these international planes, you know, to add to the reality of the situation, you know, because I don't know how they got back and forth so quickly in this episode. But
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Lee and Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Lian's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Lian and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
I was also concerned, too, because once the International Space Station storyline came into play, there was the, you know, creative device of the ticking clock, right? We have 14 hours. Ooh. And then at one point she went to sleep. And I'm like, okay, well, that was like 8 of the 14 hours. How much did she sleep?
Of course, there is the underlying concern when Madam Secretary was in Europe with a peace deal and you know, Henry's in Sweden. Who is taking care of the kids? They don't have a housekeeper, Lian. I know they have Blake and he helps out and everything, but come on, you know?
I know. All right. And then the final storyline was the mandatory volunteer work.
Yes.
Now, so in the middle of all this, like, they are struggling emotionally, they are struggling diplomatically, they are struggling romantically. They have to go work together at a booth at the school fair.
There's nothing worse, right? The school fair.
Yeah.
Maybe the school auction. That's worse than the school fair. But this is heavy lifting.
No, the school fair, I can tell you, I never chaired the school fair at our school, but I did chair our booth, like our grade booth, a couple of times. And at my kids' school, we have like a couple of masters of the universe. You know, they had some men who were like just too good for that. Right. And I can remember asking them, we did a spin art booth. You remember, you know, that with the paint.
Oh, I love those.
Everyone loves spin art, Jewel. It's a great booth. I'm telling you. So, but it's messy. And I can remember asking like a couple of guys, hey, could you put in an hour at the spin art booth? And one of them looked at me like literally my head had just come off. He was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I was like, okay, all right. So the Quakers use like a gentle guilt to get them there. Uh-huh. You know, they don't use force. They're not hostile.
Nonviolent.
That doesn't mean they aren't masters at making you feel guilty. So they're at that school fair and they're fighting at the school fair. And that was awesome.
I love that they're bickering at the school. Yeah, very nice.
I did a lot of school volunteering. So another time, you know, I was chairing the book fair and we were having some outdoor activities. And there was a woman there who was coming to help me set up. And I was instructing her very carefully on like, how to put the tablecloths on.
Yes, because that's it. Mm. Like, if you don't get those tablecloths on straight, it's all over.
But
right.
Kids care. So, but I noticed, like, this was back in the day, and I noticed that she had an earpiece on, which was kind of unusual. It wasn't like everyone had Bluetooth at the time.
Okay.
And you have to know that we live in Pasadena. I live near the Jet Propulsion Lab. And so I was trying to instruct her on the tablecloth application to the table. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm listening to Mars. And she she was a scientist in the first Mars rover project, and they were just getting like the first signals back from the rover.
Listening to Mars. I'm going to write that down, Lian.
Okay.
But again, next time someone asks me to do something I want to do, sorry.
Just put your finger to your ear and go, I'm listening to Mars.
I'm listening to Mars.
I was very effective. And I thought of Elizabeth when she got like you know, excuse me, Madam Secretary, you have to step away from the school fair booth because, like, things are blowing up all over the world. It does seem like maybe they may let you slide if you're the Secretary of State on your volunteer hours, but apparently not, right?
All the parents have to contribute, Leanne. That's the way. That's the Quaker way.
Okay. All right.
I didn't know that. I just was surprised how just the number of comments about Quakers that they made in the show.
Well, there is the big fancy Quaker school. Well, there's an oxymoron in Washington, right?
That
many children of politicians.
I believe that's where Chelsea Clinton went to school. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think it's where the Obama girls go, right?
I don't know, Liam.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it is. So
it's a state secret.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So at the end, though, what wins out? Well, what wins out? We have, I thought the president, that monologue about his experience in Vietnam was actually very effective, about what it's like to lose men and to get through that and to understand sort of the trade-offs in terms of doing work on a huge scale and the price of peace. And he shares this with Beth. And I thought that was a nice emotional moment that she had with the president.
I agree, Leanne. And particularly considering that for the last couple of episodes, all the president has done is blown up things. So sort of to step back and to be a little more reflective, I think was nice.
Yeah, that was a nice speech. And then we have the scene at the International Space Station where somehow it comes together. Even though Russia says we'll get the spacesuits up there, but we don't give the Chinese any credit. And the Chinese said, we don't give these to you unless you tell the world that it was China that did it. Somehow in the spirit of, you know, the betterhood of mankind, everyone is up in space, exchanging spacesuits gleefully and gladfully. Those Russian cosmonauts make 9 spacewalks and deliver the spacesuits and save the American astronauts and the Japanese astronauts. And everyone's gathered around watching this all happen. And that was a nice moment, too.
Yes, it was, Leanne. And hooray for the Russians. Yes.
Yeah. And then we meet the hot new Russian president. And
okay. Okay, Leanne.
I mean, I just thought he was a good looking guy. I just thought he was a good looking guy. Like, that's good casting. I don't know who he is or anything. I just thought, oh, he kind of looks Russian, really. And then we learn that Maria Ostrov, the killed Russian president, has now become, good line, Mother Teresa of Moscow.
Yeah, she was quite the saint there when she was jabbing her late husband with the poison. Yeah. Good work.
And then Madam Secretary finally gets to go home. I mean, really, after the world's longest day, she finally gets to go home. We have 2 of the daughters there, and they're like, Mom, way to go on the space station, which is really cute. I thought that was a cute scene.
I like that, too. But where is Jason, the son?
We don't
He's missing. I guess they lost him when the parents were saving the world. Like, where was he? I missed him.
I don't know.
I'm worried about him.
Okay. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he had a school field trip or something, Julie.
Okay.
I know. She needs more oversight there, the kids. And then she says at the end, peace is a beautiful thing, but making peace, not so much. This is a good line. This is a good line to wrap it up for Madam Secretary. But that was a busy, busy show for her. Busy show.
She needs a quieter week coming up. I mean, I don't know if that makes good television, but I don't know if we can do this every week. Zigzag.
It's exhausting. Yeah. All right. We do have to shout out our binders full of blouses. Again, the story was blue. Julie, yes. You really enjoyed her casual clothes, that striped blouse and blazer combination with, she is the only grown woman I've ever seen who can wear boyfriend jeans.
I know. And those cute little sneakers. And then she had something else wrapped around her waist too, but it was all working, Leanne. It was adorable. But yet sort of casual, but you know, it's that smart casual I've never been able to achieve, Leanne. Madam Secretary had it all going.
And but then it's really a special shout out to that spectacular blue coat. Wouldn't she say?
Oh my gosh, yes. When she put the collar up, the color of it, the teal, the matching blouse, and then she had sort of the tweedy skirt. I'm not crazy about the little black bow tie, but okay. Everything else was so magnificent. That was outstanding.
So we like the all blue episode. I hope we can look forward to more color related episodes. We appreciated it here at Satellite Sisters. All right. If you are looking for the regular Tuesday Satellite Sister Show, remember it's up on iTunes. Our recap of Downton Abbey is attached to that episode. But we are happy to be here with Madam Secretary doing these recaps for you every Tuesday. All right, Julie, any predictions for the future on Madam Secretary? What do you think?
Dimitri, we will see him again. Okay, Jason, I don't know. He may be gone forever, Leanne. What do you think?
And then Henry's handler is going to come back. Something, Henry is going to be sucked back into the NSA in some way. I do not trust Jill Hennessy, Assistant District Attorney.
Okay. And more Blake. That's what I say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought he had an excellent show. Yeah. He was very charming this week, as always, but he seemed to have some great moments this week. All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. If you want to find out more about us or listen to hundreds and hundreds of podcasts we have, you can go to satellitesisters.com, satellitesisters.com. You can find us on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Sat Sisters. And it feels like we're always here, doesn't it, Julie?
Yes, it does, Leanne. We're either here or we're watching TV, and we're doing it for you.
That's our motto. We watch TV for you. We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your satellite sister.